Good morning. God's peace to each and every one of you. It's nice to have you here on this beautiful day. Our sermon text for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read from chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 23 through 32. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. And if you are able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Reading in Jesus' name. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered, and he said unto them, I will ask you also one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say, From heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say, Of men, we fear the people, for all hold John was a prophet. And they answered Jesus, and they said, We cannot tell. And he answered unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But after he repented, and he went. And he came to the second son and said, Likewise. And he answered and he said, I will go, sir. And he went not. Whether of these twain did the will of the Father? And they said unto him, The first son. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe in him. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come here. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the ability to come and worship you, and we pray, Father, that you would strengthen us and encourage us through this word. Allow us, Father, to see your love, your mercy, but also, Father, your righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I would like to ask before we even enter into this sermon is, do we listen? Do we hear? And when there is evidence given to us of the great work of Jesus Christ, not just within our lives, not just within what we deem to be the church, but also within this world, do we take notice? Do we hear? It's an amazing thing because this text picks up in a very interesting spot. Jesus has his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we see that the people are just praising him and singing his laud and asking for salvation. Hosanna, they're saying, save us. They understand and they know the great works that have taken place over the years in Jesus' ministry. He has gained a great populace. People are definitely clamoring after him. And the chief priests and the elders and all these individuals in the church, if we could say it, in the temple, they are just foaming at the mouth because their popularity is shrinking. And sometimes when we get something in our head that we think something should be a certain way, we fail to listen the rest of the time. And it's sad. Because what Christ has shared with us is a powerful message. What Christ has given to us and entrusted to us as his body of believers is so important that the world needs to hear it. But oftentimes we can't get our own thoughts out of the way. So we see he enters into the temple scene. We see very plainly that he casts out the money changers and that he takes and gets rid of those that were taking advantage of the travelers. We understand this. And then we're brought to this scene where he starts to teach. And he teaches in a powerful, powerful way, to the point where the people were just amazed at his teaching. And the religious leaders, they come. And they come into the temple. And they ask him a great question. They say to him straightforward, "By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority do you teach? By what authority do you enter into the temple and clean it? By what authority do you sit down in this position of leadership?" And it's quite amazing, because if we were even to look back through the history of Jesus' ministry, we would see that the sinner is the one to attest that this is the Son of God. That no one has ever done such great works as this. We can turn around even in the example of the man that was born blind, and we can hear his own testimony. When he turns around and he says very plainly, "In all the years that we've known, there was never an individual that was born blind that was able to see. But yet this man, Jesus, healed me." We hear the testimony of those that would be outcasts. We see the ministry of Jesus. We see it very powerfully when he heals the lepers. We see it very powerfully when he feeds the thousands with nothing. We see the ministry of Jesus, where in reality he meets with the woman at the well. We see the ministry of Jesus when he turns around and he tells the woman caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more," because he didn't condemn her. We see the ministry of Jesus, and we lose sight of that word ministry. Service. Do we understand and do we know that our God came to this earth? He came in a fleshly form and he served us. He emptied himself, as Mark read, and he took on the role of servant. Not just with the understanding of the washing of the disciples' feet. That was a great example. But his whole ministry was in serving. Do we understand this? Or are we too worried about who holds the authority? See, because that's where the religious zealots were. They were worked up over who holds the authority in this temple. Who holds the authority in this, as we could say, religion? Where in reality, Jesus and his concern was to serve. And we are disciples of Christ. That's what we would share with the world. We are Christians, as they were first called in Antioch. We are Christ followers. We pray prayers often, and it's good. "Father, conform us to the image of your Son." Is that what we want? Or are we more concerned with who has the authority? They come to him and they ask, "By what authority do you do these things?" And I think it's very interesting, because now that you talk about the position of authority, now Jesus, he turns around and he will approach them on authority. Jesus answered and he says unto them, he says, "I will ask you one thing. And if you share this with me, if you tell me this," he says, then in reality, "I will answer you. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Is it from heaven or is it from men?" John the Baptist came. He was the forerunner to Christ, paving the way for the kingdom. People were going out to John and receiving of his baptism in droves. It said that the whole area was seeking for him. The whole area was feeling this call. And what John really was doing is he had the baptism of repentance. He was bringing, in reality, the people back to the understanding of who they are. That yes, they are the children of God by chosen. But the fact of it is that they needed to turn, and that they needed to be, if we could say it in a very plain way, reintroduced to the God they say they serve. They were coming out in droves. The sinners, the harlots, the tax collectors, they were coming out. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to ask me by what authority, then I'm going to ask you, where is John the Baptist's source of authority? Was he of men? Or did God send him? They start to discuss amongst themselves, and they turn around and they say, well, if we say he's from heaven, then we're kind of caught, aren't we? Because if we turn around and we say he's from heaven, then why didn't we listen to God? Well, if we turn around and we say he was from man, then the people are going to go on an uprise and we're going to have a problem. Do you see how people often are more concerned with their position than they are the truth? Take this even in the crucifixion, which later in the upcoming chapters would come up. But Pilate. Pilate turns around and he knows. He knows that Jesus is innocent. Pilate understands and knows that he has got trump charges against him and these people just want blood. But does Pilate let him go? No. Why not? Because he feared his position within the Roman government. He feared for his life. He acted in selfishness. And we can turn around and, oh, boo-hoo, Pilate. But the fact of it is, are we any different when we act selfishly? Are these religious leaders any different when they act in their selfishness? Are we any different if we act in selfishness and seek to preserve ourselves rather than bringing forth the truth? So they turn around and they come to this conclusion, we really can't answer him. Either way, we're in trouble. I love how Jesus plays that with them. He does that many times in the scriptures. There's many times when they come and they hope that they're going to trip him up. And yet he turns around on them and shows them the truth and they can't deal with it. And so when they turn around and they answer Jesus, they give this insincere and actually cowardly answer. We can't answer you. We're not going to say. So he turns around and he says, neither then will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Because to tell you the honest truth, they weren't willing to listen anyways. They had their mindset. And their way was the only way. And so the fact of it is, even if he had answered them, they would not believe him. Because even in his miracles, even in his ministry, the evidence of the hand of God was so powerful throughout the whole thing that even the common man, the sinner himself, could attest to this. It even says that some of the Pharisees said that the whole world was going after him. It's an interesting thing. When we turn around and we look at this situation. So the question is, do we hear? Do we listen? And in hearing, in other words, hearing the word of God, hearing the impact of that word in our lives, do we turn? These men were not willing to turn. They were not willing to concede that God was at work here. They feared more for their position, for their authority, for their comfort, whatever it may have been, than they did for the truth. What about us? Do we hear? And if we hear, do we turn? So Jesus, he turns around and he says, I want to lay this out here for you guys. What do you think of this? A man had two sons. And he turns around and he says to the first son, "Son, go and work in my vineyard today. I need you to work. Head out into my vineyard, get some work done." The first son is pretty sassy. He turns around and he says, "I will not. No, I'm not going." Now, we oftentimes, I think, will turn around and we'll look at this and say, "Well, how degrading is this? He's defiant." But he was truthful. He turns around and he looks at his father and he says, "I will not do this." But something pricks in his conscience, something pricks in his heart, where he turns around and actually he says that he changed his mind. King James says he repented, and that's exactly what this means. He had a change of heart. So this individual listens to his father, defies his father very openly, and said, "I will not do this." But then changes his heart, changes his mind, and he goes and he does it. This is society. This is the world. I'm not saying in every application this can be the world, but boy, I sure can see a likeness to it, can't you? Where the world goes out and does whatever it wants and defiantly stands in the face of God and says, "I don't need you. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that." Years and years ago, when I was in the seminary, I remember a very dear pastor friend of mine turned around and told me, he said, "Brother, I don't so much worry about the world. I worry about the church. Because the world at least knows that they're wrong. Where the church oftentimes is so deceived in thinking it's not wrong. Oftentimes we turn around and we put on the facade of religion and we feel that's good enough. We go through the actions of religion, but yet we really do not serve God." I'm not saying that we could put a blanket statement on everybody and say this is the way it is. But when you turn around and you look at what we call Christendom in this world, oftentimes you can turn around and see individuals that are play actors. They're hypocrites. In fact, if you talk to half of the world, they'll say, "I don't want anything to do with that church because in all honesty, they're all hypocrites." I am a hypocrite. Because oftentimes I fail. But yet, my God, through His mercy and through His grace and through His love, does not allow me to remain in that hypocritical state where He, by His word and by His spirit, calls us forth that we would do what? Turn. That we would repent of our ways and that we would say, "Okay, God, maybe, I won't do this." But then He gives us that word, He gives us that unction where we would turn around and we would say, "I was wrong. I will do this." And go and serve. This boy turned around, he told his dad, "Absolutely not, I'm not going to do this." And we oftentimes are so offended politically at this, we say, "That kid's no good." But he was honest. Sometimes in this politically correct world, we don't like honest, do we? I know it sounds cruel and it sounds weird to say, but sometimes I think we want people to lie to us because we can believe the lie. God doesn't want that. He wants the truth. And so when this individual says no and he turns around and he serves, he gives the description of another son. He says, "Now to the other son, the same." And this individual, he is a great individual, isn't he? Because he says, "Yes, I will. I'm a good boy. I'll go do your thing." But he never goes. The sinners, the ones that had no need, were running to John the Baptist. They were receiving of this baptism of repentance because they were following the calling of this word. God was working and operating, and they were in response to God's word. They were receiving. But yet now you turn around and you see these other individuals who said, "We got it all figured out. Oh yeah, that's great. Good stuff. And we even had some Pharisees that came to John's baptism, didn't we? just in case there was something to this. And John turns around and he says, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come, you generation of vipers? Because they were not bringing forth true repentance. They were not entering into this with a true heart of change. Rather, they were doing it more for an observance. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't need any more religious people in this world. We have plenty. What God calls forth for us is to enter into this world as bold Christians, repentant and believing, and entering into this world and bringing this message of grace and mercy that the world that needs to hear it will hear. We don't need any more facades. What we need in reality is the truth of the gospel, a repentant heart, and one that is encouraged by the Spirit to enter into this world and share the truth. You want the truth? I am not the greatest Christian in the world. You want the truth? According to my flesh, I am just evil. But thanks be to God, He does not leave us in that state. Thanks be to God, He has called us forth by His Holy Spirit and by His precious Word to be washed in that blood, that we may enter into this world and bring this message of reconciliation. Because by that reconciliation that I am saved, I also can enter out and share, that others may hear and believe. What Jesus is showing here is, you Pharisees and all you religious zealots, you're playing games. You act like you're so stinking religious, but you're not. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not found within. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we have a love and compassion for these people? Or are we just playing? Do we have a love and compassion for our brothers and sisters sitting here? Or are we just playing? And when someone encounters us and they turn around and bring us something that's foreign to us that we don't like, do we shut them out and say, by what authority? By what authority? Do we question the individual that may not have come in the kingdom in the exact way we think? Do we question the individual that maybe didn't have hands laid on him? If we think laying of hands is so important, then lay some hands on people already. If we believe confession and absolution is so important, then share it. Do you remember the days gone by? We can read about it in even our own heritage. If you read Elmer Iloniemi's book, it speaks about those that left the services in Pine Street. And they didn't wait for people to ask. They entered out into this world. They entered out into Calumet and said, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. Do we still have that message? Do we have the confidence, or are we waiting for somebody to meet my standard? Well, if we are, we're sad. Jesus turns around, He says, which one of these sons actually did the will of the Father? The one that was truthful. The one that, yes, hesitated in the flesh, but yet turned and repented and did what He was called to do. The religious world acts pretty good, don't we? The religious world acts like they're doing it all. But then they go home and they forget. God's not playing games. We sit here oftentimes in our life and we bemoan about the struggles around us. We bemoan about the people that have addictions. We bemoan about the people that are stuck in alcohol or drugs. We bemoan about the people that are caught up in pornography. We bemoan about all these things. We get carried away in the politics of this world and we worry about the government. I never once see Jesus telling us, rise up and rise up against this government. I never see Him saying these things. We bemoan about all of these things, but do we? Do we share the hope of the gospel with this world? That hearing of this gospel, hearing of this good news, that they may change, that their heart would be broken in reality, that fertile ground would be made, and that the seed of hope would be planted. Do we enter into this world and get caught up in the charismatics or the theology? Do we enter into this world and get caught up in the standards and the systems of an apostolic Lutheran church, a Baptist church, Southern Baptist, I don't know what it may be? Or do we enter into this world as the believers of Jesus Christ, redeemed and purchased by His blood, with that sacred message that, yes, we do carry forward, that you can believe your sins forgiven, because Jesus Christ has paid it all. Are we saying, yeah, we'll do it, Lord? And then tomorrow morning, get up and go the opposite. It's not a game. There are souls that are in danger, and there is difficulty all around us. Each and every day, people are taken from our presence. And it's time to ask, have I shown them Christ? Which one of these sons actually did the right thing? And they even answer in the correct way, the first one. The second one was a play actor. He was a hypocrite. He said something and did totally the opposite. The first one, he was messed up, but he found his way. Jesus turns around and he says, and this is what you're missing. You religious leaders, you zealots, you Pharisees, prostitutes, tax collectors, drunks, all these vile people, whoever it may be, are entering into the kingdom of God before you because your system is so stinking important that you can't see beyond it. Do you want to know what authority Jesus does all these things? It's by the authority of God, for He is God. And God's authority came to this earth and redeemed the human race. God's authority came to this earth in a fleshly form, and He saw you in your straits. He saw you in your difficulty. He saw you in your struggle. And He says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And He took that place upon the center cross of Calvary for you. And He paid the penalty of your sin debt. This is how real it is. Do you know that thought you had yesterday? Do you know that thought that you had today? Do you know those things that you did last week that just chew at you? He paid for them. He paid for them that you would have life, that you wouldn't have to live in yesterday, that you don't have to live in the moment that you had today, that you can live in Him. And this is the message that He wants you to hear, that there is redemption in His blood. There is righteousness found within Him. And He pours it all out before you and He says, receive. Where are you seeking for your happiness? What are you seeking in for your peace and tranquility? Is the world giving it to you? All of you that may have great bank accounts or slight bank accounts, is your world better because of your bank account? Are you finding peace in that paycheck you get every week? When you go to bed at night, does it bring you a warm comfort? And do you find eternal security in all of these things? Because I'll tell you what, the person that just died 2 seconds ago, they have no more security in their financial things. Is it your position in the church, as far as authority go, that gives you comfort? I have a lot of my board members that probably would give up their position to you if you like that. Because it's not in that. It is in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It is in the redeeming work of His blood poured out in your behalf. It is in that righteousness that we proclaim to this world. Yes, yes, you may be as scarlet, but He can make you white as snow. Greater is He. Do we bring that to the world? Or do we say, today is Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Glad I came to church. I'll do your job later. You know, the devil never tells us. The devil never tells us to stay away from church. Doesn't. Do you know what he tells us? You can go next week. Don't worry about it today. You can go next week. The devil doesn't ever tell us to stay away from Christ. He just says, you don't need Him right now. Deception. It's a powerful force. The one that says to his Father, I will, but doesn't, is the deceiver. And God calls to him that he may change. May we all change. May we show the love of Jesus Christ in this world. And may we be encouraged by the reconciling work of him. May we bring it to the world. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us